some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
.832 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop. Of course, our producer, Jonathan Schaefer, who is sharpening up his list for Take 3, which we'll hear about in about 11 minutes. Let's go to Dennis Dodd, who is comfortably ensconced in Hoover, Alabama, doing some good live reports or good analysis with my old buddy Doug Bell and the other CBSSports.com guys. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I wanted to ask you, what is the significance in your mind is the whole Tennessee's failed attempt to, you know, poach some of the Missouri players off the roster and bring them to Tennessee and the dynamic that now exists between the two programs and the two coaches?
Wow. That's almost ancient history now. I was in the room and reported that story when Barry Odom was at a Tiger Club gathering in Kansas City. And to backtrack, that's right after the bowl ban, which Missouri has appealed and will now appear before the appeals committee this week. But he was at that Tiger Club event and unprovoked went off on a veiled reference to Tennessee and how they had poached his senior players. If folks don't know it, if you're given an NCAA penalty such as that, seniors can transfer without sitting out. Missouri hasn't lost any players. In fact, they haven't lost any players to the portal at all. But he took a shot to Tennessee, you're right. So no love lost, I would think.
Dennis, several quarterbacks have transferred into SEC programs. Give me two quarterbacks that you think we're going to be talking about the most in late November, early December, as being the most impactful.
Yeah, I think Kelly Bryant, obviously, at Missouri is huge. You know, they had nobody. Of substance that could have taken that job after Drew Bock. So getting him, I think, would you can pick apart his game. He's not a great thrower, but look, he's a championship quarterback at a Power Five school that got beat out. You know, he got beat out by Trevor Lawrence, so there's no shame in that. And I think Missouri has the weapons and now has the quarterback to be, if you look at their schedule, to be 7-0 going into Georgia. And that would be what, October, maybe late October. So they've got a shot. You know, they've definitely got a shot to go in there. So, yeah, I think, what is it? 9 quarterbacks are here at the media days, which shows you kind of the strength of the SEC right now.
We're speaking to Dennis Dodd, of course, our college football insider from CBSSports.com.
Well, Dennis, naturally, we want to know about the teams here in Tennessee. And what do you think their expectations are for Tennessee and as well as Vanderbilt?
I asked this on camera yesterday. I think it's about the same as last year, maybe a 1 or 2 game improvement in a league where, you know, no surprise, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. I still need to know about Guantano. You know, there was a lot of yards given up last year by that defense. In year two, I think everything's going to be better because it usually is with a new coach. But in that division, in that league, as you know, it's just hard to get on top of things and make that 1 year leap. Unless you're Nick Saban in 2007 going to 2009 and winning a national championship. So I don't know if I hate to say it, but honestly, I kind of see, you know, about the same last year.
Oh, man, so that's 5-7, so you don't think they're going to get into a bowl, and we're talking
Well, I said about the same, maybe one or two games better.
Wow. Man, so what do you think is going to happen with Missouri's appeal here? Because Missouri seems as though to think that that they're be able to get out of this bowl ban. Do you think that'll happen?
I don't think they'll win it, and I've said that from the beginning. Because of what their plan is based on, they said it was abuse of discretion by the NCAA. That's not an appeal in and of itself. To win an appeal, you kind of have to prove that the NCAA didn't follow procedure right. Now, part of the appeal, and this gets down in the weeds a little bit, is that Carol Cartwright, who was on the infractions panel that decided Missouri's fate, is a questionable participant in the process because she is a member of the reform-minded Knight Commission. And also on this NCAA working group that's working towards a definite definition of academic fraud. So I think Missouri's kind of alleging a conflict of interest. Again, I don't know if they'll win that argument, but it's a better argument than abuse of discretion. I think we all agree, Blaine, that it was academic fraud. There's no question. Missouri's saying, hey, it was a part-time tutor. There was no eligibility involved. We turned it in as soon as we found out about it. And there was no conspiracy on our part at all. So, I do think a bowl ban in that situation is probably too much, especially in light of what happened in North Carolina a couple of years ago. But, onward and upward, we'll see.
How much do you think all this sports gambling that's been approved, I guess, online or on websites affect college football, if at all?
Well, it's scaring the administrators to death. I think North Carolina today is going to become the 17th state to approve state-sponsored single-game sports betting. And college sports in general is really having a hard time getting their arms around it. They're worried about access to athletes. They're worried about access to officials. I know in the SEC they're scared silly about that, not because there's any problem, but just because it could happen. I know that at the player level, that they're worried about, what could happen to the players. And even some on the back end, the NCAA, I've heard a little bit of scuttlebutt. The NCAA rule is you can't bet on any sport that the NCAA sponsors. And there's 89 sports the NCAA sponsors. You can bet on horses, you can bet on dogs. That's if you're of age. But do we really, and I say we, college fans, do we really in this day and age want to have somebody lose their eligibility for a year, a big-time player, if they put $5 down on a game somewhere, legally, in a sports book? I think that's being discussed, because I don't know if we want to do that.
Dennis, do you like the SEC's move for greater transparency when it comes to officiating, with what they're trying to do to be, a little more accountable for blown calls or controversial calls, to at least bring it to the forefront?
Yeah, they did this at the spring meeting in Destin in late May, early June. And I was kind of surprised they announced it, because on its face it looks like, well, we have a problem we have to clean up. I don't think that's the case in the SEC, whereas there's a similar review going on in the Pac-12. I think we all agree there's an officiating crisis in the Pac-12. I think the SEC, and especially Greg Sankey, was really sensitive to a couple of things last year. The Devin White situation, LSU versus Mississippi State, when he was flagged for targeting, it was a borderline call and he missed the Alabama game, All-America linebacker. The conference got roasted on social media, and that combined with the seven overtime game, LSU, Texas A&M, there were several controversial calls. Hey, it happened. I think the SEC and Sankey were frustrated that they had lost control of the narrative. Because as everybody knows, as soon as something like that happens, and it's not just college football, it's anything, once it gets onto social media like that, you have no control over the situation. They were misidentifying officials. Fans don't know the rules. To the point that Steve Shaw, the officials coordinator, went point by point with the Baton Rouge Advocate to go over all the calls in that that Texas A&M game, and most of them were right. I think only one was maybe wrong, pass interference call.
Exactly.
So that's what's right. That's what they're worried about, and that's what they're trying to eliminate.
All right, Dennis, finally, you know, as you look at the SEC top to bottom, give me the team that in your mind is overhyped or overrated, and a team that you feel is underhyped or underrated.
I think A&M is going to be 8-4 again, whatever that means, just because, and maybe third place in the West. Underrated, I think Missouri looks like they, with Kelly Bryant and a lot of players, they could be 7-0 when they go to Georgia. Now, hey, that could end up being 8-4. But for a Missouri team that should have won 10 last year and left two games on the field, maybe three games, when you think about Kentucky and Oklahoma State, and there was another one in there that they blew. That's saying something for Barry Odom, who's 19-19 after 3 years.
Dennis, great stuff as always. We'll speak to you again down the line. Enjoy the food. Enjoy the festivities in Hoover.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
All right. Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com bringing it when it comes to college football. All right. Straight ahead. You want it. You need it. We're talking about Take 3. 8:43 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone.
Zone.